turn tonight to the first book of the Bible called Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book of origins. And let me just read our text. And let's begin in verse 1, and let me read to you the text we're going to be covering tonight. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were of the second day." Tonight we're going to focus really on one thing, and that is what happened after verse 2, and I'm briefly going to cover the second day of creation. But I want to talk about tonight basically this: was it light or was it light? And that's the title of tonight's message, and you'll get that in just a moment. Was it light or was it light? And so we've already have verses 1 and 2 behind us, where in the beginning God created. That word created means that God created everything that we see there in creation chapter. He created out of nothing. Think of that for a moment. I mean, out of nothing. He called into existence. He spoke it, and it was done. Next time you're bored, you try that, okay? Now, so in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't try to prove Himself. He just simply revealed Himself. "I am the Creator of all things." And so we learned, or we have learned, that creation reveals the glory of God. Creation reveals the power of God, and creation reveals the grace of God. Very important first CD that we taught on. Now, and then in verse 2, it says, "Then the earth was, or as some people teach, it became." Of course, we don't necessarily hold that yet. Some of you might, some of you don't. So the earth was what? Well, it was ruined. It was in chaos, they said. It's a wasteland. It was void. It was empty. It was without form. And darkness was on the face of the deep. That is the deep of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Over the face of the waters, plural. Now, so the earth is empty. It's a wasteland. It's covered with water. It's like a lifeless core, if you will. Now, we talked last time about the gap theory that did a huge time gap exist between verse 1 and verse 2. Did some type of catastrophe occur here? Was it when Satan fell to the earth? Was it a populated planet? Did it suffer for millions and millions of years? Did it fill in the geological ages and so forth? And we discussed that last Wednesday night, and from the sermon where we talked about, was it 6 days of creation or 6 days of recreation? Now, if you haven't been with us the last two Wednesdays, you can go to the bookstore and find the answers to those questions tonight. Now, but before we begin our text tonight, the 6 days of creation, it's very important that we understand something about it. And we have to answer a question tonight. The 6 days of creation, were they literal 24-hour solar days, for example? Or were they each day a geological period of time, a geological age, where perhaps that day was perhaps thousands, billions, years long, for example? You remember where it talks about that 1,000 years is unto a day, and a day is unto 1,000 years unto the Lord over in Peter? Well, this is not what that's talking about here, okay? And so, you know, when we think about this, is it a literal 24-hour period or is it a geological age? We have to ask ourselves a question right now, right this minute. We have to ask ourselves, do we believe the God of the Bible who cannot lie, or do we believe man-made science, okay? We really have to ask ourselves that. Now listen, I love science programs. I like watching them, and I'm not very good about science at all. I wasn't good in it when I was in college or high school or any of the rest, you know, but I enjoyed watching and trying to learn about it. And science is a good thing. I really believe that. Science is a good thing. It's wonderful, and it is a necessary must in the society and the time that we live in. But the question when we go through the book of Genesis is this, and where there's so much temptation in the church and many, many churches, boy, I tell you, they just follow whatever science says when it comes to Genesis, the first chapter. So the question is this, do we interpret the Bible based on data provided by scientific research and the fossil records, or do we trust God? Well, we're going to trust God, amen? Look down to Genesis 2:1 for a minute. It says in Genesis 2:1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them," that means everything, it says, "were" what? "Finished." Well, it finished when? In 6 days, okay? Now, so we have to ask ourselves, was everything finished in 6 days, 6 solar days, or 60 million or 100 million years? Well, as a Christian, we don't reconcile the Bible with science, do we? No, I mean, science is great. And it's good to study and it's good to know, but I don't bring science over here and say, boy, this is what the Word of God said, but this is what man-made science says, so I better trust man-made science. I mean, I just don't think so. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to reconcile science and God's Word. Let's put it that way. You know, I don't know if you remember this, but years ago, NASA, you know, and I have a lot of respect for NASA. They're a great, great group of people. And, you know, they said, you know, the moon was like 6 billion years old. And they were worried about the depth of the moon dust. Y'all remember that? That was a long time ago. And because of the rover, the thing they were going to put on there, remember? And they said that the moon dust was probably between, 17 feet and 35 feet thick, the dust, the moon dust. And the dust was there because a meteorite hit that thing and they were able to measure it all out and how much dust was up there. I don't know how they did that, but you know what I mean. And they measured it and they spent billions of dollars constructing the lunar module because of the depth of the dust. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but when they got up there and they pulled the lunar module out and they arrived, they found out that the dust was less than an inch thick. Well, so that's why I'm saying, now who are we going to trust tonight? Are we going to trust science? Or are we going to trust the Word of God? You follow what I'm saying? Well, I don't know about you, but I believe personally that I'm going to just hang with the Word of God. It's never let me down yet. So when we talk about a literal solar day, a 24-hour period there in Genesis, okay? Let me read the fourth commandment to you. You might want to write this down. From Exodus 20, verse 8, here it comes. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day." Day, okay? Keep it holy. Now, 6 days, it doesn't say 60 million years. It says, 6 days ye shall labor. It may feel like 60 million years, but the fact of the matter is 6 days, 6 literal earth days, 24-hour periods, solar day, okay? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day, which is a 24-hour period of time, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, no, not your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your stranger, who is within your gates. Okay, Lord, why? Here it comes. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Now listen, to know your text, read your context. If the author there, which is Moses, is saying that we are to labor 6 days and rest on the seventh, and then he gave us the contrast to creation that God labored for 6 days and rested on the seventh, is he talking about two different type days? No. He's talking about a 24-hour period of time. So when I look at that, I say to myself, hey, I don't need any more proof. I have the Word of God right there. I believe it was 6 literal 24-hour solar days there of the creation. Now, let me back that up by saying this. I don't understand that at all. And I'm not saying that I understand it at all. But God didn't call me to understand everything. He called me to believe it. And the way that we believe it, it says, remember what it says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand. that God created all these things. By faith, that's what we stand on, is the Word of God is faith. And not only that, the fact of the matter is that God is the supernatural God. And there is absolutely nothing too hard for Him. Amen? Matter of fact, there's nothing too hard for Him in your life right now. Any moment in your life, anything that you're facing in your life, anything that you're going through. Right now, if I could be God for a moment and I could look out here in this vast crowd, I could and look into the hearts of people, I could see that some of you tonight, you're here, you're glad that you're here, but you're hurting in your heart. There's something that you're trying to deal with, something that you're trying to overcome, something you're just trying to get through. Some of you are saying tonight, Bill, I just am tired of specific things. No one knows anything about it. I'm tired of this happening in my family, or I'm tired of this. I'm tired, and it's wearing me out. It's wearing me thin, and I'm so tired of it. May I tell you that God knows that, that He loves you. He knows everything that you're going through, and if God created this for man, for you to enjoy the stars, the moon, the sun, the breeze, the trees, the birds, the rivers, the water, all of this for us. He knows everything you're going through. And may I say to you tonight, trust Him by faith. Sometimes we don't know all that's happening in our life or why it's even happening, why we're going through this. But I tell you that even though it feels negative, even though it feels like it's prodding and poking and all the rest of it, and it's wounding, I tell you that God will turn that around and He'll make it healing. He'll make it victory. He'll take that pain, that evil, He will turn it around, and you'll look and say, oh God, why did I ever doubt You? Everything that I was going through, what I'm feeling, at the whole time You were working on my behalf. Yes, He is. So don't worry tonight. Don't fret and don't be afraid. Now, with all that being said, let's look at day one. Verse 3, then God said, here it comes, the first record of God speaking in the Bible. It says, and God said what? Let there be light. And look what happened. And there was light. Isn't it amazing that the very first words of God has to do with light? And somehow that just tickles me. I love this. The earth, look at it for a moment. We left it off. There is the earth. It's kind of a core, an embryonic stage, if you will. And it's without form. It's without void, meaning that God hasn't started the days of creation yet. It's just there. And it's encompassed in some water or whatever. Now look at it. It's resting there. Like Job said, it's the earth hangs on nothing. There it is, hanging out in the middle of nothing, whatever nothing is, and it's in total darkness. I don't know if you can get a picture of that in your mind. I'm talking about dark. You know what I mean? Dark is dark. Whoa, scary dark. You know what I'm saying? It's dark. And then God said, let there be light. Now listen, was this light or was this light? Now, Bill, what are you saying? Well, what I'm trying to say is this. This was not, let there be light, you know. And then all of a sudden, light, as scientists say, there was a, what was it? Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Are you following me? And all of a sudden, God was waiting for the light. Okay, hurry up. Get on out there. Hurry, Hunter. And it's not there yet. Ooh, come on. Let there be light. Do you understand what I'm getting at? No, that's not what happened. God wasn't, well, scientists say it, so what? So, there wasn't any scientist around when God did this, or evolutionist. Are you listening to me? In the beginning, God was there, and God said, He spoke, He saw darkness, He saw wasteland, He saw emptiness, He saw something unformed. And when He saw it, He said, let there be light, and light was. Now listen, light, He didn't hang around for that to travel 186,000 miles per second to fill up the entire whatever in an instant. The moment that God, now listen to me, the moment that He said that, all at once, the entire creation was boom, brilliant. Are you following me? This is so important that we see this. Listen to Psalm 33:6. Let me read it to you. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Why? Here it is. For he spoke, and it was done. Don't you wish life was that easy? You just say it, and it happens. Amen. You know, Johnny, mind your manners. Yes, ma'am, it's done forever. It doesn't work, does it? No, but God says it, and it says he spoke and it was done. We better stand in awe of God. Amen? Now listen, we know what light does, but we don't know what light is. And as any good pastor, I went to get the definition of light. Okay, are you ready? Let me just read it to you. Light is the portion of an electromagnetic radiation that is visible to the human eye, responsible for the sense of sight. Visible light has a wavelength in a range of about 380 or to 400 nanometers to about 700 or 780 nanometers, with the frequency range of about whatever this word means. In physics, the term light often comprises the adjacent radiation regions of infrared at lower frequencies and ultraviolet or at higher, not visible to the human eye. Primary properties of light are intensity, polarization, and while its speed is about 300,000 meters per second in a vacuum, is one of the fundamental constants of the nature. Like I said, no one knows what light is. Do you understand me? Now, the person who wrote that needs counseling. I mean, I'm not trying to mock him. I mean, I couldn't do that. And I'm going, okay. As soon as I read that, I said, wow, well, what is light? Yeah, no way. Listen, here's what is amazing. You know, you go into your bedroom and it's dark. And you turn on the light switch. You follow me? And the darkness goes away. Oh, I know. I know what you're thinking. And the darkness just goes away. Now watch this. And you turn the light switch off, and the darkness comes right back. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? And so I'm sitting here, I'm going, wow, okay, how did that happen? Really, what is darkness? Well, we talked about that last time. It says, God says, I created the darkness. Well, what is it? What is it? The children of Israel there in the land of Egypt, it says that when the darkness came over the Egyptians and over the land of Goshen and all that, or rather that area, it says it was so dark they could feel it. It was a darkness that could be felt. What is this darkness here? What is this? What in the world is light? And was it light or was it light? That's the question I'm trying to determine. So the question that I have to ask is, was it light or was it light? Look at verse 14 of Genesis 1. And this is why I'm asking that question. I want you to look at the fourth day. Genesis 1:14. Then God said, let there be what? Lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be, let the lights in the heavens, let them be for what? Well, for signs. Let them be for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Look at verse 16. Then God did something else. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Can you believe that? Five words, that's all he tells us about the stars. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the what? Well, now, wait a minute. We're over here in verse 3. God said, let there be light, and light was, and yet it wasn't until the fourth day that the sun and the moon and the stars were made. What are you going to do with this? Well, obviously the copyist didn't get this right, Bill. Or as one scientist said, he said, well, here's the thing. The sun and the stars and the moon, well, they were really already created, but they only became visible on the fourth day as a result of a clear atmosphere. This is not L.A., folks. You know what I'm saying? No, you think about that for a minute. No, listen. Do you understand what I'm saying? God said, let there be light, but there was not sun, moon,
stars, planets. He said, let there be light. What can give the universe the kind of light that God said that came upon this earth? Is there some place we can go in the Word of God to find a place that is inhabited, and yet there is not a sun or a moon, but people are there, but they don't need any of that? Yes, there is. It's called heaven. Amen? Let me give you the scripture. You can look it up when you get home, or you can even turn to it. It's up to you. Revelation 21, 22. Let's look at it for a minute. It says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now listen to me very carefully now. Revelation 21, 23. Let me read it to you. It said, the city had no need of the sun. It had no need of the moon to shine in it. Why? Here it comes. You ready? Here's the answer to our question about verse 3. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Verse 25. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. Why? There shall be no night there. Listen, remember that creation reveals the glory of God, the power of God, and the grace of God. Heaven is a real place. Amen? No, it really is real. It's our home. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We have no continuing city. We're on our way home. And we're marching towards Zion right now, and we just don't know it. And the reason is that we're following Jesus, aren't we? He's the author, the finisher of our faith. He's our forerunner. We're following Him every day of our life. We're going home. We're marching towards Zion. We're nearly there. We might leave tomorrow and never experience death. We might be just taken out tonight. Wouldn't that be a holy hallelujah? Amen? Now, so what in the world could give that light? Well, let me finish in Revelation 22:5. Watch this now. It says, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor the light of the sun. Why? Here it comes. For the Lord God gives them light. Let me say that again. For the Lord God gives them light. And then it goes and says, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. In Genesis, God called the darkness night, and now night is gone here in Revelation forever and ever and ever. Boy, it's going to be something. When we get to heaven, folks, now listen, I know we're talking about creation, but you know what? We'll never experience darkness again. Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, no, it won't even be in our mind. It won't be in our vocabulary. That word will be forever banished forever. That word will never be used. What is darkness? I don't know. I've never seen it. There's no darkness there. Are you following me? Oh, there's so much waiting on us. Who wants to serve the world when there's so much waiting in front of us? Amen? Oh, we have a future. We have a glorious future with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now listen, so who brought that light? Was it light or was it light? Well, it was the glory of God. Now that's what I believe. It's okay if you believe it's the sun. I mean, that's your problem. I believe with all my heart it was the glory of God. Let me read 1 John 1:5 to you. I'm going to give you several scriptures, so just write them down so you can get home and study and make sure I'm not, taking you off the deep end here. 1 John 1:5, John writes this. He said, this is the message which we have heard from Him, that means God, and declare to you, here it is, that God is what? Light. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all, meaning none exists. It says God is light. It doesn't say God is a light. It says God is light. Listen to me now. If the sun had been there, in other words, as some people hold, oh, Bill, the sun, it had to, scientists, boy, they go crazy over this. The sun had to be there. Well, no, it wasn't. God could put the sun, He can do anything He wants to do. He's God. Do you understand? We try to put God and define Him and put Him in this box and say, you can't do that. You know, the psalmist says, why do you limit the Holy One of Israel? Don't draw a line in the sand and say, you can do anything, but you, Lord, when you get here, you just, that's not, really? No, we're not going to limit God. No, listen, say, for example, that the sun, he said, let there be light, and that the sun was there. Let me tell you something about the glory of God. Now, I've never seen the glory of God, but I know from studying the Bible, I have a visual, a spiritual visual, what the glory of God is. Are you following me? Okay, let me say something. If the sun was out at noon on a hot August day, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, burning you to a crisp, and you're ready for winter to come. You're ready for, you know what I'm saying. We'll all be there this summer, believe me. And there it is in the sky, not a breath of air in August, you know what I mean? Even the mosquitoes die. They fall right out of the, they can't breathe or live. And here we are walking around melting, and we've all lost 10 pounds already, you know, and the sun is beating down on us, and all of a sudden the glory of God appeared. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the sun would grow a little dim? Yes. When the glory of God, I mean, it, listen, the Shekinah glory, it is, it's blinding. So God sat out there and he said, let there be light. And he stepped out there and the entire universe, wherever it was, it didn't take 186,000 miles per second like we talked. It was instantaneous. Light was there. Are you following me? We need to really get a hold of that, because see, when we say God is light, we're speaking about who God is. That's his nature. God is the source of light. Now, why don't the scientists just say that instead of doing all that long paragraph I had to read that I didn't understand? I could understand God is light. Okay, I can buy that. I got it down. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 John 2:8 that God is the true light. The true light that lights up every man's life. I thank God for that. Now, so look there on the earth. You see that core that's in darkness, covered in water. And then in an instant, the glory of God. God stands there, however it's done, I don't know. I'm not God. Can't even understand it. I just know he said it and it was done. And if we're not in awe of God over that, we have a problem tonight. It should make us tremble, because he's our Father. Don't mess with our Father, amen? Now, why don't we do something? Why don't we look at something for a minute and try to get a better idea of the glory of God in creation and who and what it means. Turn with me to Isaiah, just for a moment. We're going to be there just in a minute. Isaiah chapter 6. And let's just look at something just for a minute. Isaiah chapter 6 in the Old Testament. Just move forward in your Bibles. And let's look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, talking about in Isaiah here, he's going to say, he said, I saw the Lord, where? Sitting on a throne, high, lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And look at the rest now. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Now that is already enough to scare me right there. It says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Now stop right there. He's a thrice holy God. In other words, don't you come near. Don't you approach him. You stay away. He's a thrice holy God. And now look what happened now. You ready? And the whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Boy, I wish that was our outlook right now tonight, instead of how bad everything is. And it is bad in many parts of the world. But we just say, oh, Lord, the whole earth is full of your glory. And look what happened. The outcome of all this, it says the post of the door, they started shaking, or they were shaking by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke, or literally the Shekinah glory of God. That's what that is. So Isaiah, look what he said. He said, woe is my neighbor. No, that's what, you know what I mean? He said, woe is me. Now listen, woe is not a good word in Hebrew. If you want to look it up, it's not a good word. He says, woe is me. Why? He says, for I am unraveled. I'm coming unglued. I am falling apart at the seams. Literally, I am undone. Why? He says, because I am a man. And that's God. That's the glory of God. It's the brightness flooding the temple. He says, oh, I am a man of what? unclean lips. I have a dirty mouth, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And he says, for my eyes, say that with me, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now listen, it is a sobering truth to truly look at yourself and be honest. Remember the points, the keys for 2011? Love one another, self-examination. Remember that second one? Self-examination, and then forgetting, of course, and so on, and expecting. But the self-examination, that's what he was doing. He was going, oh my, I am a man. I'm not only a man, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live with a bunch of unclean lips people. You know what I mean? He said, listen, this is the truth about ourselves. You know, when we see the truth, when we see the truth about ourselves, it's when we see God for who He really is. Amen? Let us not ever be self-righteous. Let us not ever think we're better than anyone. Everyone in this room, this chapel tonight, me, all of us, we're saved by grace, folks. The only thing we have going for us is Jesus Christ. Amen. In ourselves, I'm telling you, we don't have anything going. But thank God we have the Lord. And you know, we want to be honest with who we really are. And when we see God, we have a right kind of attitude and a right view of the Lord, the glory of God. See, when I see God stepping out there and saying, let there be light, and light was, I don't know about you, but I get excited because, you understand what I'm saying. I don't even have words. But it's just, I can't get over it. I'm like a little kid. Just say it. Light was. And there it is. How cool is that? I'm sure that when we make it to heaven, I can only imagine what our Father is going to do for us. Hey, come on, let's go for a walk. And he just says something and said, that blow you away? Watch this one. Do you understand? We don't understand. God walked in the middle of that darkness and God said, let there be light. And light was. We need to let God's light shine on us. His creation. We're new creations. And we need to say, Lord, look at me. Light up my life. Light up my heart. Light up my mind. Let every part of my being be illuminated by you, that I may let you shine through me. Amen? That's what it's all about. You remember what Job said about really seeing yourself as you really are? Listen to what Job said in Job 42:5. Let me read it to you. Job says, you know, I've heard of you. He says, I've heard of you, God. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. In other words, since I was a little boy, my mom and dad told me all about you, Father or God, and you know, and so forth. I've been told all about you. Now listen to what he says. But now my eyes see you. Now listen to what Job says. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I'm going to tell you something. I say this in tenderness tonight, but I know I'm right. The church of Jesus Christ needs a renewed vision of God, who God really is. I mean, we need to look out and say, He is God. And when we come to worship Him, man, we need to be so in awe of the one who said, let there be light. And light was. Job said, oh, I've seen Him. And I can only fall down and repent and say, oh, God, be merciful to me. Listen, we don't need light. We need the light. Amen? That's what the universe needed, was the glory of God. He put His handprint on it. He lit it all up. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and that he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen? The Bible says that the Word of God is a what? Is a, what is it? A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Now listen, what does that mean? The Word of God, the Word of God. Here it is. Look at this now. You see, there's the Word of God. It's a lamp. You know, a lamp doesn't shine very far, does it? No. So it'll light into my, and to, for my feet. And so here's the Word, and I've got to keep the Word so I can see where I'm stepping. It's a light into my path. It doesn't shine 500 yards down the road. You got to keep in the Word all the time, don't you? You stay in the Word and let the Word of God guide your life. It's a path. We're all on a path. We're either on the narrow road or the broad road. There's only two roads that a person can be on in this whole world, one or the other. There's no other roads available, just two. One leads to destruction, one leads to life. And the only way we can get there is by following the Word and letting the Word be a light into our path. Amen? That's what we need tonight. So we want to follow Him. Talking about the glory of God in creation, listen to this scripture. 1 Timothy 6:16, God, who alone possesses or has immortality. In other words, He's ageless, He's timeless, He's deathless. He's our God. Now watch this. He dwells, what? Dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen, can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Unapproachable light. Think about that. You know, Paul, when Paul was on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, and the light from heaven, the Shekinah glory of God appeared, what happened to Paul? Remember? It blinded him, man. Listen, we're talking about the glory of God, the glory of God that filled up the universe. It says in Psalm 104, verse 2, which is a creation psalm. Let me read it to you. It says, God, you cover yourself with light as a garment, and you stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Isn't that amazing? God is described here as one who wraps himself in a robe of light. Listen, I'm going to give you some scriptures, and we're going to get back to it, but let me give you a few more. Job 38:18. This is from the New Living Translation. You ready for this? God is talking to Job, and He says this to Job. He says, do you realize the extent of the earth? He's asking Job a question. He says, tell me about it, if you know. And here it comes. Where does light come from? Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, let's go back to the bedroom, okay? You walk in, and it's dark, and you turn on the light, and all of a sudden you can see, and you turn it off, and there's the darkness returns. To me, isn't that, in a way, even though that's weird, and maybe even a weird example or analogy, comparison, whatever, it's in my childlike mentality. It's like I sat there, you know, and I did this, you know, last night. Oh, boy. My wife is going, what is your problem? I said, where does the darkness go? Where, you know, and she's, Bill, come to bed. See, we don't understand light. We really don't. No more than we really understand the blood of Jesus, like I was talking about on Sunday. God is light. He says, Job, where does light come from? And where does darkness go? There's the light switch. See, God's got the same issue. No, He doesn't. You see what I'm getting at? He said, let me read it again. He said, I like the reading. It sounds good to me. He says, Job, where does light come from and where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course, Job, you know all this, don't you? For you were born before it was all created and you are so very experienced. Don't you love the Lord? You know, where were the scientists? And the geologist and all these people who know so much, they go back and say, well, the fossil records. Oh, well, you know what? Maybe those fossil records are just a little bit off. Yes, but you know, no, maybe they are. I trust God. I trust God's Word. I trust the true light. You remember when Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17, I believe it is, they went up to there on the mound and Jesus was transfigured before them. And the glory of God, that who He is God. In other words, what was on the inside came out to the outside. And it says, His face shone like the sun. God is light. And He stepped out there, or however He did it, as the Holy Spirit was hovering over that darkness. The earth, the water there, in total darkness. And He said, let there be light. And it was done. And as He commanded it, it stood fast. I don't know about you, but that is creation reveals the power of God. Amen? And if God can do all of that, which He did do all of that, folks, listen, there's not one thing He can't do for you in your life. No matter what you're facing, I'm talking about I'm talking about be totally devastated, like there is no hope, no way out, no way out. I'm telling you, God is your way out. I can't get out of this hopelessness. I'm telling you, God is your way out. I can't get out of this debt or whatever. I'm telling you, God is your way out. God, if He had to, He could say, would you just go over here to Grapevine Lake and go fishing after church on Sunday? And when you catch that first big catfish, pull him up, open his mouth, and you're going to find one of the rarest gold coins in all the universe. Amen? Could God do that? Of course He can. See, there's nothing too hard for God, but we don't expect God to do anything anymore. That's why we cry so much to Him. And like the great Father that He is, He puts up with us and loves us because He's long-suffering and patient. Not impatient, but patient. He cares to the fullest extent. There's no one like God. No one. I thank God every day for saving me. Every day for taking me off that day in that beach there in Florida. Every day I thank God that He saved me. And He revealed Himself to my heart. And He made me a new creation. I thank God. I thank God my family is saved. I thank God that you are saved. I thank God that we're going to be in heaven together, although I will probably be on a far away from you. No. I'm just joking, Pastor Darrell. I'll finally get to know some of you then. Know your names. Know who you are. I love the Lord, don't you? It says in verse 4 of Genesis 1, now look at this. Let's see what God did. God said, let there be light, and then God saw the light, and that it was what? Good. I like that. It was good. And look what the Lord did. God then divided the light from the darkness. Now there's no moon, there's no stars, there's no sun. There is a solar day. To divide it, you have to have that. Are you following me? The earth is spinning. Now, He said, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, God saw, God called. God gave a name to what He created. Isn't that amazing? Day. I'm going to call you the light. You're day, okay? Darkness, I like that. You're going to be called night. That's why we say, good day, good night, because God named them. Amen? And then it says the evening and the morning. So when God creates the sun and the moon, we'll have what we call, you know, the sunrise and sunset and so forth. But listen, I don't have time to get into it, but let me say something about that. Remember when I get down to verse 14 and it starts talking about how God, you know, set the things in the heavens, the moons, the stars, and all that for seasons and for times and so forth. It's so much deeper. There's a reason why God did all of that, why there's the moon, why there's the sun, and so forth. You know, and the reason behind it is because, as we will find out as I get into that, is that God did that in order for many things, but for one thing in particular, to set up a religious system. Are you following me? A religious system about the evenings and all of this. Let me just read something from Leviticus 23:32. It says, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls, and on the ninth day of the month, here it comes, at evening. You see, God just created evening, right? From evening and morning. And at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate the Sabbath. I can't wait to get over verse 14 and following. And when we get into that and start talking about how the devil has so perverted what God created and the reason God created it, but that we don't have time to cover that. And I don't even think we have time to cover the second day of creation. Is that okay? Or do you want me to keep going? It's only about 8:15. Those kids back there, they're not. Oh, let's just do it. Come on. I'm going to blame it on you. I was trying to get out of it. Let's look at a quick look at day two of creation. Then God said, now listen, He said, He spoke, He simply spoke, and He did it effortlessly. He's not screaming. He's not yelling. God said what? Let there be a firmament that expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, we know that this firmament, this expanse, the word there, firmament, literally means to take a piece of metal and beat that piece of metal out and stretch it out. And that's what he did to the expanse, to the heavens, to the atmosphere above us. And can you imagine dividing the waters? That means he made the expanse, he left waters here, and then he took the waters and brought the waters up. As maybe, I don't know what that really means, to be honest with you. I mean, I tell you, water's heavy. Do you understand? Water's 773 times heavier per whatever than air. Think about that for a minute. And God just said it. Whew, it was done. There was an expanse. And he just literally, he just beat it all out. And remember now, that expanse was put up there. No moon, no stars, no sun, moon. It wasn't there. It was just the heaven above us with nothing in it. Isn't that unbelievable? And thus God made the firmament, divided the waters, and were the firmament from the waters, and which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament what? Heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Isn't God awesome? He just took it, and again, that word means that expanse. It was like a metalsmith taking metal, and he's forming it and hammering it out and stretching that metal. And I tell you, he really stretched it out. Amen? I mean, how big is the universe? How big is that? How big is the Milky Way? Remember, we went over that in the beginning. How big is, it's incredible. And remember how I closed last Wednesday night, I think it was. And I said, how big is the universe? And I said, how big is God? How big is God? The Bible says, behold, the heavens of the heavens cannot contain him. That means we have a great, awesome, huge God. Amen? He's bigger. I mean, like I was telling you, remember, he's everywhere. God is everywhere. That's how big God is. He's everywhere. The heavens of the heavens cannot contain him. Cannot contain him. You know, the Bible says, it says in Psalm 139:7, listen, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Amen. I think we're in pretty good protection tonight. Pretty good hands. No matter where we are, anywhere that he has created. God says, oh, I'll take care of you right there. Is it light or light? I think it was the glory of God. I don't think it was the sun yet because we're not down to the fourth day. I think it was the glory of God that filled the universe in his first creative act there, in a sense. Listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, let me read it to you. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, if it's hidden, it is hidden from those who are perishing. It tells us why now. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Here it comes. Lest the light of the gospel, here it comes, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's amazing, isn't it? The glory of God. Why don't more people come to Jesus? We live in a world that's, we have tapes and Christian radio and CDs and churches on every corner. They hear the gospel over and over. Why don't more people come to Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because Satan has blinded their minds from what? The light of the glory of God. It goes on. Let me finish now. It says, for it is God who commanded, here it is, light to shine out of darkness. That was there in Genesis 1:3 that we just covered tonight. For it was God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, your hearts. Why? Well, it says, to give the light of the knowledge, here it comes, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Church, listen, when we became a new creation, the light of the glory of God, the gospel of the good news, what happened? It exploded in our dark hearts, just like God stepping out and looking at us. Here we are, we're just a lifeless core, and we're just there walking through this earth, and we're in darkness all around us. I don't care, we were walking in darkness. And God stepped up to us the moment we received Christ, repented of our sins, and guess what happened? God said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, you went, there is a God. Jesus is real. The Word of God is real. And all of a sudden, we which were formless and void and a wasteland and empty, we became brand new people, new creations in Christ. Amen. Church, there's nothing gooder than that. Amen. Nothing at all. I hope you're saved tonight. I hope Jesus is your Lord tonight. I hope you have asked Him to come into your heart. I pray that you have. If you haven't, I can't save you. I can't save you. I can point the way to you. And you know how you do it? You just say, Father, I'm a sinner. If you're not saved, say it right now. Father, I'm a sinner. Say it in your heart privately to God. I repent of my sins. Oh, Jesus, be my Lord. Save me. I want the glory of God to explode in my life. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name. You pray that prayer if you're not saved. And God will save you tonight right there in your chair.